Welcome to day 276. We are up to Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches, and these are the Mishnayos for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's great about these Mishnayos is that they introduce us to many new concepts that we're going to see throughout Shas. So it's like a two-for-one. We learn about Challah, but we also learn about all these other concepts. A brief introduction for the first Mishnah is that we know that you only need to separate Challah from dough that is roi la'achilas adam, that is food for people. If it's inedible for people, you would not separate Challah. So it says the Mishnah, Isas HaKlevim, this is a dough that was made specifically for dogs by mixing flour and bran, and depending on how much bran was in there, that would determine whether it was edible for people. So Bizman Sha'arom Ochlim Mimenu, in a case in which the shepherds would still eat from it. It was primarily for the animals, but they would still partake of it because there wasn't enough bran to make it inedible for people. It was still digestible for humans, and therefore they would eat it sometimes. Then Chayeves Bechala, so you would have to separate Chala, the obligation would apply. And now all the other halachas that would apply also. Uma arvinba, and therefore you're also allowed to make an eruv with it. There are two different types of eruvs that we're talking about. One is an eruv to chumin. You're not allowed to walk 2,000 amos past the last home of your village on Shabbos. But if you put a bit of food, human food, at the end of that 2,000 amos, then it extends it. You're allowed to walk another 2,000 amos. The other tchum is the other Erev is an Erev Chatzeros. So you have a lot of homes that open up into a single courtyard, and you want to be able to carry from one courtyard, from the courtyard to a home, and from one home to another home that it's in the courtyard. So you have to create, you have to combine them all together. And the way that you do that is every person contributes towards a food item. You keep that food item in one home, and then it all becomes like one area. You're allowed to go from one to the other. And you can only do these Eruvs with human food. And therefore it works in this case because the Roem, the shepherds, sometimes eat it. Umishtatvimbo, and you can combine courtyards in the same thing. Now it's not just that the homes open up to a courtyard, but many courtyards open up into a mavoi, which is like an alleyway, whatever it is. It's a big area in between all of the other courtyards that they all open up into. So if you want to combine all of the courtyards so you can carry from one to the other, you do the same thing. You all participate in a food item and you leave it in one of the courtyards, and then you're allowed to carry from one to the next, and you can only do that with actual food, and therefore it works in this case. Umivarchan alah, and you're allowed to say a bracha on it. You're actually allowed to say the bracha of hamotzi because it's real food. Umizamnim alah, and you're allowed to bench over it. We wouldn't do that if it wasn't human food, even if you were eating it. Vinases biyomtov, you're allowed to make it on yantif. We know that you're allowed to cook on yantif, but only food that people would eat on yantif. So in this case, this isas klavim, since the roam sometimes eat it, therefore you're allowed to eat it on yantif. Make it on yantif. Veyotseba adam yotse chavasa bepesach, and if you make this dough into matzah on Pesach, you would fulfill your obligation. It works. Now, in Ein Harom Ochlim Menu, but if there's too much bran such that people would never eat from it, even the shepherds wouldn't eat from it, then Einu Chayeves B'Challah. You would not have to separate Challah. And all these halachos wouldn't apply also. Vein Ma'arvim Bo, you can't make those Eruvs. Vein Mishtatvim Bo, you can't connect the courtyards together with it. Vein Mivarchan Alen, you can't say a brach on it. Vein Zamin Alen, you can't bench on it. Vein Nasis B'Yom Tov, you can't make it on Yantif. Vein Adam Yotzi Bo Yidichavas B'Pesach, and you cannot fulfill your obligation of matzah with it on Pesach. Now, Bein Kach or Bein Kach, in either case, whether the Roman would eat it or not, Mitame Tumas Ochlin, it can become tummy. It's eligible to become tummy with Tumas Ochlin. We know that when food, in many cases, when it comes in contact with something that is tummy, it can become, obviously the circumstances matter, but it can become tummy. So in this case, because even if there's so much bran that the shepherds wouldn't eat it, still it's food bekoshi. If it's a dire, dire circumstance, the person still could eat it, that's enough to be considered food for the purposes of Tumah and Tara, and therefore it would be eligible to become tummy. That is Mishnah Ches, and that Mishnah Tes, the last Mishnah of our Perek, Hachala v'hatruma. There are many halachas that apply both to Chala and Truma. We know that we separate Chala and we give it to the Kohen. That sounds very much like Truma. Truma, we separate our grain and we give it to the Kohen. And says the Mishnah, absolutely. Many of the halachas apply to both. So Hachala v'hatruma, both of them, Chayev Malaya Misa, if a non-Kohen eats it, it's Chayev the death penalty, v'chomesh, and if you eat it unintentionally, a non-Kohen eats it unintentionally, then you'd have to add on a fifth when you pay it back. That's true for both Truma and Challah. We learned about that back in Truma. So now we're learning that it applies to Challah as well. Vasur and Lazarim, it's also not allowed to be eaten by non-Kohanim. It's unclear why the Mishnah needs to teach that. That's what the Mefarshim point out. We already learned that by implication of the previous halacha. So why is the Mishnah saying that? It's unclear. But it's not allowed to be eaten by non-Kohanim, by Zarim. The Heim Nichse Kohen, and they belong to the Kohen. The Kohen can do whatever he wants with it. It can sell it to other Kohanim, etc. V'olim be'echad ameyan, if they get mixed in with non-Challah or non-Truma, it only becomes nullified if there are 100 parts of the non-Challah to 100 parts of Challah. Same halacha by Truma, we're learning applies to Challah as well. Utu'unin ruchitza sedayim, and you have to wash your hands before eating it because you need to eat it betara, with purity. And we know that when a kohen is tameh and goes to the mikvah, so the mikvah itself doesn't make the kohen tameh. Instead, you have to wait until nightfall. You go during the day, and then you wait until nightfall. When the sun sets, then the kohen is now considered tohor. So the same thing by challah. You have to wait until the kohen, until nightfall comes. After the kohen already went to the mikvah, you wait until nightfall comes, and then the kohen is allowed to eat the truma, and then the kohen is allowed to eat the challah. Ve'ini tala min hatara al tameh. You're not allowed to separate challah or truma from something that is tohor onto something that is not tohor, something that is tameh. We'd think that would be okay, by the way. That's a nice thing. You're taking from your pure produce and separating it onto an impure produce so the Kohen can get it. But the reason they said you're not allowed to do that is because we know the halacha, and you need to separate truma and challah. Now we're learning min hamukaf, from flour, from grain or from dough that is right there. You can't separate it from dough that's in one house onto, you know, somewhere totally different. So we fear that if we allow a person to separate from something that is tohor onto something that is tameh, you never want those two challahs or grain to touch, to get mixed in, because then you can turn the tohor ones into tameh, they become tameh. So you want to keep them far apart. Because they're far apart, we're worried that someone might separate truma and challah one onto the other, and that's not min hamukaf. They're too far apart, and therefore we say you should not separate from tohor onto tameh. Says the Mishnah, ela min hamukaf. It needs to be min hamukaf. It needs to be from dough that is right there next to it, and similar by grain. Umin adavar agamar, and also it needs to be fully processed. We know that by maiz roast, you can only separate from something that is fully processed onto something else that is fully processed, because only then does the chiyuv set in. Same thing with challah. Now haomer, someone who says kol garni truma v'choli sasi challah, my entire grain pile should be truma, or all of my dough should be challah. Lo amar klum. He didn't say anything. Ach yishar miktas. You need to leave a little bit over. Why? Because the pesukim very clearly say that it should be a portion of, not the entire thing. It says reishis degancha by truma. It needs to be the beginning of your grain, and therefore there needs to be, it's of your grain. Some of it at least needs to be left over. And same thing by challah. Reishis ariso sechem. It needs to be the beginning, a portion of your dough, and therefore the Torah doesn't tell us how much it should be. But we're learning that you can't give too much either. You can't give the entirety of it. It needs to be of something. So in turn, you have to leave at least a little bit of challah over for yourself, or a little bit of grain over for yourself. Then the rest you can make truma, the rest you can make challah. But if you do not do that, if you made the entire thing challah or truma, it does not work. That is the end of Perek Aleph. We'll continue with the second Perek tomorrow.